Many people's lives are boring. I think they're boring very often because we're trusting in what we know. Now, of course, thank you, ladies. I'm not talking about doing things differently for the sake of it. I think sometimes that can be a bit just as big of a problem. But God moves in seasons. We've already talked about the seasons this morning. Glenn has talked about farming and things that happen. So there are seasons. And the question is, we need to know what season we're in the spirit. There is a time for sowing. There's a time for reaping. There's a time for weeping. And there's a time for rejoicing. Amen? If you read Ecclesiastes, it talks about that. It goes into a lot of detail about different times and things that happen. Of course, we are both a body, as well as it were individuals, we're families. So there's multiple layers. And for us as families, we might be in a different season to one another. As individuals, we might be in a different season to one another. But I believe that as a fellowship, then we need to be in the season. We need to recognize the season that we're in. And Jesus was very good at that. He taught the parables about that. You say that it's harvest. Harvest is coming, rather. He said, but I say, look up, the fields are ripe. 2 or 3 months. He said, they're ripe for harvest. But the laborers, they're few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into his harvest field. So we need to be, of course, he also rebuked the fig tree that it didn't have any fruit on it. But it wasn't the right time. It's a very interesting example, that, isn't it, in Mark 11, that you think, well, why did he do that? I don't know. Sometimes I think I do, and then the next thing I don't. But I want to read a passage of Scripture. I've just realized I've left my Bible there. Thank you. And I was going to read this last week, but the Lord, I suppose, prevented me in a sense, because I forgot. So I'm going to read it this week. And it's not something that I've read for a long time. Yet there was a time when I could probably recite the whole of this chapter off by heart, because I've meditated on it so many times over the years. But I believe the Lord gave it to me at a time when I was a young believer as being foundational for my calling. And here I am 35, 36 years later, and it still hasn't happened. I've tried everything to kickstart it and, you know, jumpstart it and everything else, and it doesn't happen, because unless it's God's timing, it doesn't happen. It's aborted. If it does happen prematurely, it's aborted. And I believe it's a picture of the church. Even though it was written in the Old Testament, it was written to Judah. It's a picture of the church and what God wants to do. So I'm going to read it. It may not need to comment on it, but I'll read it anyway. And it's Isaiah speaking. He's saying, cry aloud, shout it out, spare not, don't hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. I used to play the trumpet at the time when I got this. And I want you to show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, don't worry, folks. This is not getting downer on people and beating them into the rud. That's not the purpose of this. Yet he says, God says this, they seek me daily. That's good, isn't it? Isn't it good to seek God daily? Yeah. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? They delight to know my ways as if they were a nation that did what was right, which is righteousness, and has not forsaken the ordinances of their God, the commands of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. Wow! This is good. You know, if you didn't know that it was a bit before it, the verse before it, if you read this out of context, and you know, you went to a meeting of pastors. Supposing I went to a meeting of pastors and they said, how are things in AOG in Salisbury? I said, well, the people seek God daily. They delight to know his ways, like a nation that did righteousness and had not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask God for the ordinances of justice, and they really, really love, they take delight in approaching to God in praise and in worship. What would the other pastors say? Wow, what an amazing fellowship you've got in Salisbury, wouldn't they? I mean, that's good stuff. And then the cracks start opening up in verse 3. By the way, this is Isaiah 58, if I didn't mention it. Sorry. Why have we fasted, they say, and you don't see it, God? You're not taking any notice? Why have we afflicted our soul, you know, sackcloth and ashes? Well, it says that actually. Afflicted our soul and you've taken no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and you exact your laborers. You get your pound and a half of flesh from every one of your laborers. They treated their own people badly. Behold, you fast for strife, not for the right reasons, and debate. Now, but debate can be good if it's proper debate. But sometimes debate is arguing and just trying to prove you're right and everyone else is wrong. And you smite with the fist of wickedness. And God says, you will not fast as you do this day, expecting your voice to be heard on high. That's called hunger strike. That's not fasting. Amen? And then God says, is it such a fast that I've chosen? A day for a man, the Sabbath. A day for a man to afflict his soul. You know, we can all be pious, can't we? We can all go, you know, we dare not to be as Pentecostals, but a lot of denominations, they do Lent. They don't eat chocolate and things like that, drink alcohol. Is it a day I've chosen for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head in false piety as a bulrush? To spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And the answer is obviously no. But then God says what he wants, folks. And I believe this is what he wants for us today. For us and for those that will be won through our influence. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, says the Lord? For you, my beloved people, to loose the bands of wickedness that are ensnaring people. To undo or to remove the heavy burdens that people are crushed under. To set those who are oppressed free. And that you, by the truth of my word and by the power of my spirit, you break every yoke of bondage that is holding people in slavery. Amen. These are spiritual things, folks. Truth will set people free. Jesus said that. If you continue my word, then are you my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you don't know the truth, you can be in slavery to lies. I mean, that's what religion does, isn't it? That's what man-made traditions can do, what fear does all over the world. Maybe we think we're more enlightened than in other countries, and maybe we are. I can't remember the name of the author now, Precious, maybe. Perhaps you can remember. Or someone from Nigeria. Who's the famous author in Nigeria? I read a couple of his books, and he writes about his sort of tribal beginnings back in the jungle. You must know who I'm talking about. He's very famous in Nigeria. Yep, that's him. Say again. Chebi. Yes, Chebi. And he's like the sort of Booker Prize winner of Nigeria. And I read some of his books when I was out there. And it's all about in the jungle. And at night, nobody moves. There's total blackness. And the demon spirits and the fear, all that come. And of course, turn the lights on, they all go. But it's fear. And unfortunately, religion is used to control people, to exploit people. Has been, always will be, I'm sure. And then in verse 7, God says, is it not also, and I am adding a few words in here to bring context, is it not also to deal your bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him and that you do not hide from your own flesh. I'm sure, folks, we've all done it. We've seen somebody we don't want to talk to and walk on the other side of the road. Maybe in Tesco's. Plenty of aisles you can hide behind. Or you can be on the phone. That's my favourite. If I don't want to talk to somebody, put my Bluetooth headset in and I just talk to myself as if I'm talking to someone else. It's very useful. And it also means I can pray out loud and things because people don't think I'm crazy because I'm obviously talking to my Bluetooth. But it can be used for good, it can be used for bad, can't it? Amen. But you see, what it then goes on to say, and I truly believe this is where we can gain real strength from this, in verse 8. Then, do you like the word then? If you've ever done, anybody any computer programming here? Ah, you've done some programming. Do you know about if-then statements then? Yeah. So what happens is, you know about if, come on, tell us about if-then statements. You want to use the microphone so we can all hear you? Come forward.
One, two.
Yeah. I'm going to learn something here.
If touching something else, do something.
Uh-huh.
Or else.
Yeah. Do something else.
Do something else.
Yes. Thank you. That's brilliant. So if a certain condition exists, well done. Yay. Well done. That took a lot of courage. If a certain condition exists, then do this. Else, do that. And that's basically the logic that computers work on, right? It's all just in... I remember once I spent an entire night writing a program and at sort of 8 o'clock in the morning or something, I went into the office really proud of what I'd written, this fantastic program that had these if, else, then statements in it. And I showed it to all the people I worked with and they went, yeah? Was that it? And I gave up programming. That was it. If that was the appreciation I was going to get, I thought, forget it. So that was it. That was my one programming night, a whole night. Because if you notice, programmers, they don't go to bed at night. They sleep during the day, and they're up all night programming. They look like mushrooms. And I didn't turn into a mushroom. Do I need the microphone? Was I using the microphone a minute ago? No, I don't need the microphone. Okay, couldn't remember. Right, so let's get to this. Then, hallelujah, let's say that. Then, then, then shall you call, and the Lord shall answer. So at the beginning it says, I'm not listening to you, but if you do these things, when you call, I shall answer. What things? Loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, set the captive free, and break every yoke of bondage. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, bring the poor that are cast out. Then, hallelujah, then you shall call, and I will answer. You will say, here I am. He will say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. So often our conversations can be vanity. There's nothing evil about them. They're just worthless. They're like, yeah, it's got no value. Like mist appears for a while and vanishes. So I got a bit carried away there. Oh, glory. Ah. And if you draw out your soul to the hungry, now that's, I think, is... You know, could be physical. Sometimes we have to feed people to get their attention. I went to Basingstoke a couple of weeks ago. I might have mentioned this. I don't remember what I mentioned anymore. It doesn't matter. It's like watching a DVD. Watch it 3 months later. Wow, isn't this a good film? Never seen it before. You did 3 months ago. Okay. So what? I was in Basingstoke and I was taking my keyboard back to the Apple store and there was a guy begging. And I said, got any change? Have I shared this with you before?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I won't repeat it. Okay. Okay, somebody may not have heard it.
I haven't heard it.
You haven't heard it. Okay. So I go past him. He says, have you got any change? I said, I hadn't used change money for months. And as I went into towards the Apple store, the Lord reminded me I had a £10 note in my wallet, which I'd taken £30 out, I'd given Anne 20 because I owed her £20, and I had this other £10 in there, which I'd forgotten about. And so I sort of, okay, if he's there when I get back. So I went into the Apple store, and I didn't get what I wanted. And I'd driven all the way to Basingstoke, and I was mad because I'd wasted supposedly half a day. And I said, I want to get the devil somehow. I thought, that guy. So I went back, and he was sat there. There's the £10. He probably thought I got out of the machine, which I hadn't. I didn't say I had. I'd just forgotten that I had it. I said, "What do you do with this?" He said, "Oh, I'm going to get some food." I said, "Huh? Sure?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to be in church tomorrow." I never mentioned church. I said, "It's not about going to church. It's about Jesus." Anyway, he talked about how he likes this church. He said, it's a black church. He said, they're Africans, and they're alive. They've got life, and I enjoy going there. I said, what's the name of the church? He said, I don't know. I said, pastor's name? I looked on my phone. I knew I'd been to a church in Basingstoke about 6 years ago preaching, and his name was Lowell, B.J. Lowell, or Lowell. And I said, is that his name? He said, yes. I said, oh, say hello to him for me. Now, if he goes, because he said he was going to go, I don't know, but maybe he'll go. Maybe God will do the work of deliverance in his life. He won't live on the streets anymore. You don't know, do you? You don't know what God is going to do after we've connected the link and then let that person go on. I know sometimes we're there at the end. We bring them in. It's great to be, hello, old boy. See this man here. I've known him for many, many years.
Hello, brother. Good
by
to
the way,
see you.
You ought to take your mask off.
Why?
Oh, you have. Thanks very much. Thanks. Good to see you as well, Kev. That guy used to be an alcoholic. He's set free. Hallelujah. Sorry?
No, poor joke. Lockaholic.
A lockaholic?
Carry around locks.
Oh. Say it again.
Lock-a-holic.
Yes.
Every week he comes in with locks. He must be a lock.
Oh, I see. I've got you. Right. It was too deep. It's too deep, that joke. Okay. And I think it's just been part sometimes, but other times we'll be the reapers. Other times we'll be the sowers. It doesn't matter as long as we're in the chain. Amen? Yeah, amen. One sows, another one reaps, another one waters, but God gives the increase. Okay, let me carry on. Otherwise we'll be here all day. What do you want? You want that? Nobody said anything. If you draw out your soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul. Now listen to this, folks. If there's ever been a time in the history, well, no, I suppose it's been the same in the past, the Dark Ages and so on, but it's relevant today. Evolution makes it relevant today. Humanism makes it relevant today. We are living in a dark world, aren't we? And this is what the Word of God said. And the church is irrelevant, isn't it?
No,
but it is as far as we are, actually. We are. The way we are irrelevant. What do we do? What do we contribute? We do charitable works and food banks and all those things are good. But what? Are people frightened? Are they frightened of us like they were frightened of the early church? Did no man dare join them because of fear? Look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They lied and boom, they're out of here. And it says that nobody dared to join them because of the fear of God. Are they scared of us? Have they got the fear of God? I don't think so, folks. And rightly so. Why should they? But let me just say what it says here. It says in verse 10, if you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then, I'm going to put the word church in here, then church shall your light rise from obscurity. Glory, glory, glory. Your light shall rise from the phoenix shall rise. The church shall rise with healing in its wings. I just realized the phoenix has got wings. Yes. And your darkness, listen to this. Your darkness, church, will be like the noonday. Not your brightness will be like the noonday. Your darkness will be like the noonday. What's our brightness going to be like? Amen? Isn't this good? If this happens, folks, what a world we're going to live. We'll be willing to stay a bit longer because a lot of us at the moment have had enough. Well, hopefully we've had enough. Now, I know we want to hang on. You know, you say, oh, I've got lots of things to do for the Lord yet. Well, get on with it then. We're going to run out of time otherwise. And the Lord, verse 11, shall guide you continuously. You know, if you are living by faith, if we are living by faith, we're going to need the continual guidance of the Lord. Because otherwise, we won't know what to do. We'll be out on a limb. We won't be able to trust in uncertain riches. I'm saying that to Tony because otherwise we'll talk about eschatology here. Right? The time is coming shortly. Is that right? Shortly. First of all, no man can work, as Jesus said, it's dark. But also, you won't be able to buy or sell unless you've got a mark on you. It's in the book, folks, and it's happening around us. Bit by bit, we're edging towards it. We are. It's got to be. We're closer than when we first believed, right? It's just never been a generation in the history of the world that's got technology like we've got that can control, that can be omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, yes. There hasn't been that time where everything we're saying, you know, my phone could be listening. It can't, because it's actually on, well, it could be. It's on airplane mode. Doesn't mean that all your phones aren't listening and transmitting what I'm saying out there. But do we care? No. We don't fear him who can destroy the body, do we? At least if we don't, if we've got that word in our hearts. But if we haven't, amen, then we're vulnerable. And we'll be given choices between life and death, between eating and starving, having your children taken away from you or keeping your kids, having your job or losing your job, having your house or losing your house. Then it comes to a point where you've got to make a decision. And what's in your heart will be what you make the decision based upon. Yes. It'll either be based on faith or fear. And so we need to get established. Ah, glory. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. So it doesn't matter that there's a drought. You and I will be satisfied. And listen to this one. Make fat your bones. Amen. That's good in the Bible. Yes. Amen. Wife looks at me with that. Look, I've started fasting again today. Again. See, I've got an on-off switch. I'm either eating or I'm not eating. By the way, this isn't primarily for spiritual reasons. I'm sure there's benefits, but I've got to lose weight. I took some photographs of myself this morning. It was disgusting. I'm so fat. Okay? And their Lord will guide you continually. You'll satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. And listen, church, you'll be like this. You will be like a watered garden. You imagine it, the dew just dripping in the morning. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. They'll never be. I remember when we came to Salisbury, once been down in the Queen Elizabeth Gardens, and you've got the two of the rivers that they join, and they both come from two directions, and then they go off in one direction, so they become one. I think it's probably the Avon they become. But as they go round this sort of trip, what do you call it, peninsula, where the join is, there's a big tree planted. And you can see the roots go right underneath the river. Folks, it doesn't matter how hot it is, as long as there's water in that river, that tree will not dry up. It's sucking it up, gallons, probably hundreds of gallons of water a day, but no problem, because there's lots and lots of water in the river. And that's a picture like this. Your waters will never fail. And then verse 12. They that shall be of you, those who are born of you, born again of you, your own children. Hallelujah. You know, I think this is rather, this scripture has been precious to me as our kids have grown up. I've seen lots of people's children have gone away from the Lord, but my kids haven't, thank God. Our kids haven't, right? And I've always held on to this. They that shall be of you will build the old waste places. Hallelujah. We're living in a bomb site. It's derelict in many places. But what will happen is the Lord will use those that are born from us and ourselves to rebuild those old waste places. And to raise up the foundations, the godly heritage of many generations. And then it says, you will be called the repairer of the breach. You know, the city wall's got a breach in it. The enemy comes in and he goes out. But you will be called the repairer of the breach. Satan will not have free access to come in and out as he chooses, because we will repair the breach. Nehemiah and his people, they rebuilt the wall around the city. I think it was in 52 or 59 days. The whole city of Jerusalem, they built a wall. Do you know how they did it? You know what the genius was? He got the people to build the wall outside their own houses. So if they don't do a proper job of it, they're the first to get killed off. Amen? And he had the perfumers and the goldsmiths and anybody. It didn't matter what you did. You weren't exempt. You got stuck in. Because it was for the communal good, but it was also for your good. Hallelujah. And then it says, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Oh, don't you hearken back to an earlier time, those good times when God, when the fear of God was, you heard it in the parliament, you saw it in the nation, people had a respect there. Not everyone was Christian, but there was an underpinning of the society by the gospel, by the Christian message. Even the Old Testament law was there to because it provided justice. There's no other legal system in the world that with religion had been involved, which has got as good and caring and balanced as the British one was. In fact, it was copied all over the world. It's copied all over the world. Now, justice has fallen in the streets. And then lastly, and this is very important, this is a message in itself, so I'm just going to skim over it. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call, don't get religious now, right? Don't get religious. I mentioned the word Sabbath. Don't get religious. And from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, shalt honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. Do we want to get our delight, the Lord to be our chief delight, folks? Rather than looking for other things to fill the voids in our lives. Then shall you delight yourself in the Lord, and I, says the Lord, will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and to feed on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I've got to say this before I finish, otherwise I'll leave doubt, and I don't want to do that. When I read that years ago, and the Lord gave that to me, I was confused with those last couple of verses, because what's the Sabbath got to do with us? We're not Jews. And I want to say this absolutely categorically, we are not required as Christians to keep the Sabbath. We're not required to keep the Sabbath. We're not required to fast, to tithe. Tithing is not a New Testament principle. We're told we should give with gladness, but that's not being under compunction or of necessity. And the amount of abuse that I've seen where people have been told to come forward and the pastor will bless them when they give their tithes. Well, if you believe Malachi 3, you don't need some bloke to bless you, because God says he will open up the windows of heaven. I'm not against giving. There's nothing wrong with giving. If God puts it in your heart to give, then give, but not under compulsion. Now, let's talk about the Sabbath for a second. The Sabbath is not a requirement for us as Christians. And I've brought people into bondage in the past when I told them, you were going to clean your car on a Sunday. Listen, the Sunday isn't even a Sabbath anyway. Yeah. And I, to my shame, I've put people under bondage. But then God gave me revelation when I sought him about this, and he directed me to this. And you need to read this for yourselves. And it's Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And it says, there is a Sabbath's day rest for the people of God, where you cease from your own works and enter into his works. It's got nothing to do with, like the Jews, they won't press the lift button on a Sunday because that's work. It's got nothing to do with that. It's to do with ceasing from your own labor and laboring to enter into that place where you are one with the Lord. You're not striving. You're not trying to make things happen. You're abiding in him, and fruit is coming forth from your life. Amen. So do just take some time during this week if you got, you can. Well, you can, of course you can. Take some time to just meditate on that chapter. And let the Lord speak to you, because I think it's a key chapter for what the Lord wants to do. And folks, when we come together on Sundays, and other times, Jackie or someone else leading on Tuesday, if you join that meeting, come expecting to give something from the Lord. Not to dominate, but just to humbly just let God bring something forth from your guts, from your spirit. Because that's what we've got to do. We've got to honor one another. We've got to expect that God will talk through us. I gave Bernie a hard time this morning because she may have a word from the Lord for us, but she's not here. So, you know, let's encourage people. Let's pray for them. It's good to see you again, Sarah. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's great to see you, Faith. I know some people can't get here every week. Doctors, thank you. Thank you for being here, but thank you also for doing your bit and looking after us, you know, physically. But the Lord wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask. Is that some sort of sign from God, from heaven? Hallelujah. So when you come on, let's come and expect. And we don't have to sing all the time. We don't have to do anything all the time. We just need to wait on Him and let Him do it. We're not turning into Quakers just yet. But I do believe the Lord wants to. Now, I thought what we could do now, we're getting to that time where we probably think, is this about the sort of time we normally think about winding up? That's what you're doing. Is that winding up? Is that what that means?
Yeah.
We don't have to wind up. We can be as long as we can, can't we? We want to, can't we? Yeah. But I thought what we could do is get the chairs out of the way and let's be Jewish for a few moments. And I'm going to introduce you to a song, right, which you probably know. You've heard it before. But we'll try and sing it. My wife will lead us in dance. Well, the two of you. So just let's get the chairs out of the way. No. Let me see if I can. Now, you'll have to do that, yes.
Between now and the end, could you just announce that the prayer meetings that are
Tuesday, on Tuesday, yeah. Yeah, we're not going to finish straight away. We're just going to try this.
People to come because it's, you know, it's a good time. It's
yeah. Okay, yep, excellent. Let me just stop this thing. Pause. Hello. I think Neil was going to click. I think he was. Let me just say, how do you do pause on here? Why is it not pausing? Is that because it's plugged in?